Well, welcome, and it's great to have you, those of you who are here in the West venue with me, those that are over in the East venue, and those that are on our online stream right now. Great to have you with us. If you are new or newer to C3 and we haven't met yet, my name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3. And today, here's what we're doing. We're starting a brand new series today, and we're going through the rest of this month of November, and we're calling it Do Over. Let me tell you, sometimes we do life, and we don't do it quite right. Sometimes we make poor choices. Sometimes maybe you're here today and you're kind of exploring a relationship with God. Maybe one time you had a relationship with God, but something happened. Maybe he didn't do what you thought he should have, or maybe you just kind of wandered off from him. But can I just tell you that God always gives us a do-over. God always gives us a do-over. God is a do-over God. I mean, so often when we don't get it right the first time, God is a God that gives us a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance, and for some of us, 100 chances, and on and on and on, right? God is just amazing in that way. And if you're here exploring God and seeing if he's real and the claims are true and stuff, we are so glad that you are here today. Today we are going to be starting this series called Do Over, and the reason why we're doing it is because we are heading now into the holiday season. And I think what we're talking about today and what we're going to be talking about throughout the rest of November is really going to help us set the stage for the holidays. And this is something that this is going to be probably a simpler message, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be stepping on toes. Okay, so curl them up, get ready, because that's what we do. That's what toes are for. Okay, so here's what we're doing. Today, specifically, we're going to talk about less is more. And what's interesting is when I grew up, I thought, you know, if I have one, two is better, right? So if I had $1, two is better. If I have one dog, two dogs is better. Never cats. You understand that, right? Never cats. But if you have one car, two is better. See, so we always thought that more, you know, having more is better. But I'm telling you, I'm not sure that that is actually correct anymore. And I want to talk, I'll talk with you about it in just a little bit, but let me tell you what I'm going to do different about in this message. Normally when we have a message, if you're a regular C3er, you know that we probably have 3, 4, 5, 6 verses that kind of point us in the direction of where we're going with the message. Today I'm only going to do, because we're talking about less is more, today I'm only going to talk about one verse. We're only going to have one verse because less is more. I want you to focus on this verse. I want you to really kind of get, I put it in your notes on the app and in the program if you want, you got those. But here it is. The verse we're looking at is Ecclesiastes 4:6, and here's what it says. It says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Now, what in the world is that talking about? Better to have one handful, so if somebody needs to be picked up, the other hand is empty, so I can lift them up. Better to only have one handful, in case somebody needs something, I can send it off to them. I can hand it to them. Better to have one handful so that if somebody is discouraged, they're having a tough time, I have a free arm to put my arm around him or her to pray for them, to encourage them, to let them know it's gonna be okay. Better to have one handful. Have one handful with tranquility instead of two, toiling and chasing after the wind. And so often, let me tell you, so often what I find is this, is that we have so much things in our life that our hands are full, that we don't live the way God wants us to live. We live in a world, we live in a society, we live in America, where our hands are full of so many stuff and things that really, let's be honest, doesn't matter. It's stuff that's just filled up our homes, filled up our life. But it's taken us off of the tangent. It takes us off of the mission of what Jesus Christ has put us here for. Can I tell you what he's put us here for? To make more and better followers of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you what he's put us here for? So that we will love God and love others. And you right now are saying, well, I, I'm doing okay today with the first part because I love God. I mean, here I am. I got an extra hour of sleep last night, but I'm in church, right? I'm in church. Great. How are you doing with loving people? How are we doing with loving others? So often we are so filled up with stuff and things, and life gets that way to where we just don't have time for other people. We don't have time to do things with other people. I put out on C3 social media about a week and a half ago a question. Here was the question I asked. Some of you responded. If you knew you had 3 months to live, what would be important and what would not be important? And knowing the question that I put out there, I kind of had the thought of what most people would respond. And it was the way I thought. And you can probably guess it too. Majority, overwhelmingly, the majority of the people said that, you know, if I knew I only had 3 months to live, the things that would be important to me is my family, my kids, spending time with them, doing things together, having memories, doing things with them. My family, my friends, my loved ones, that was what was important. You know what people didn't say was important? My hardwood floors, my granite countertop, my new big house, my new car. Those things didn't even come up. It's about friends and family and loved ones and having memories. What if? Because we don't know when each of us is going to die. Because again, if you're a regular C3er, we always talk about this. The death rate's still right around 100%, right? And we don't know when we're going to die, but it's going to happen for you and for me. What if, and we didn't even know it, we are 3 months from death. What if we lived that way? What if we lived differently? What if we lived as if we only had a few months to live and we actually lived the way that we wanted to, where we were spending time with our spouse, with our kids, with our parents, with our friends, with people that we love and care about? What if we actually did that? Mark, that's crazy talk. I'd do that if I knew I had 3 months, but if I didn't know I have 3 months and I didn't know when I was going to die, I mean, stuff and things, baby, that's what I want. Right? And here's Christmas coming around the corner. And we're going to get more stuff and things. Woo! It's amazing. More stuff, more things. Better to have one handful than to have two toiling and chasing after the wind. We in America are so stinking blessed that it has become a hindrance to us. And this is something that we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to try to help show you and myself that we've got way too much things that is cluttering our homes and our life. And today, I want to start off by talking about, and I want to give you three thoughts on less is more living. If you want to have less is more living so you can live the way that God really wants you to do, even though you haven't yet, God gives us a do-over. God lets us to still make change, right? How can we have a less or more living? First thing, if you're taking notes, is this. The first thing is we're going to cut back. Why are we going to cut back? What are we talking about? Well, let me give you some examples to help you understand. Let's go back 100 years ago. In 1919, if you were a man back in 1919, let me tell you what was in your closet. In fact, first of all, their closets 100 years ago in 1919 were very small closets. I had a grandmother that my grandfather died when I was young, and so I would oftentimes go over to my grandma's house, and her house was very old. I don't think it was 1919, but it was probably built in the 30s. Very small closets. And in 1919, 100 years ago, let me tell you, if you were a man, this would be what was in your closet. You would have probably a suit that would either be for church or for work or both. You would have two nice shirts. You'd have a pair of slacks of some kind. And you'd have two pairs of shoes, one that would be nice shoes and one that would be casual shoes. So you'd have a suit, a pair of pants of some kind, two shirts, two pairs of shoes. That's it. That's all you got, boys, 100 years ago. Ladies, what you wore 100 years ago, I have no idea. But I'll tell you this, it fit in that little tiny closet. Fast forward to today. Now, 2019, can I tell you? Because I've been in some of your homes. You've shown me around your house. We don't have these little closets anymore, right? We have these things. They're called walk-in what? Closet. And some of you don't just have a walk-in closet, right? Some of you have like a walk-in garage. It's huge. I mean, you can park a car in there. It's just huge. And some of you, you got a walk-in closet that is so big that eight laps is a mile. I mean, you can get your workout right in there. And some of you, and I'm not kidding, and some of you have this. I've seen it. You have in your walk-in closet, it's a two-level walk-in closet. I mean, you got stuff here and you got stuff there, and it's huge. And eight times around is a mile, and you walk into your huge walk-in closet with all this stuff, and you look around and you say to yourself, I have nothing to. Oh, you've heard that too, have you? Amazing. Amazing. I got all this stuff, but I've got nothing to wear. Ooh. God, forgive us. I've got nothing to wear. Better to have one handful than two and toiling and chasing after the wind. You see, God has blessed us, but we've taken those blessings and we've magnified them. And it's taken us off of focus of what we're supposed to do. I believe, and I'm going to talk a little bit later in this message about it, but I believe that the blessings that God has given us, I believe that they have taken us off tangent. It has made us to be distracted to what really we're supposed to do. We have a lot of distractions in Tri-Cities. We have a lot of distractions in America. And I believe that what we're talking about today is something that if we would grasp this and actually apply this, this would change our homes. This would change our family dynamics. This would change our relationship with God. If we could actually get to this point. So, for some reason, we think that we're here to accumulate stuff and things. You know, there's a story in the Bible. There's a story in the Bible that talks about where this guy came up to Jesus. In the Bible, it calls him the rich young ruler. Came up to Jesus and he asked Jesus, I'm paraphrasing this, but basically, how can I have eternal life? And Jesus looked at him, and knowing his heart and knowing his life, Jesus said this. He says, take all you have, sell it, give it to the poor, then come follow me. And what's interesting is what happened at the end. The other guy goes, woo, that's a great, I can do that. Instead, it says he walked off and he was sad because he had great wealth. In other words, he had a lot of stuff and things. But can I actually tell you the truth? He didn't have stuff and things. That stuff and things had him. They have him. And nowhere in Scripture does it ever talk about that is what we're to do, have the abundance of stuff, of possessions. That's never talked about in Scripture, that we're supposed to have all these things and stuff. But yet, we do. Yet, we have so much stuff all over the place. We have stuff that we don't even know what to do with it. In fact, let me just tell you what some people do. I'm sure it's not you, it's those people you're sitting next to, right? So we have so much stuff that we fill up our huge walk-in closets. And when those get filled up, then what do? We fill up the other closets in the house. And then what do? Then we take whatever we can't fit in the house in the closet, then we put it out in the garage, right? Right? You listening? Okay. Again, I know it's not you, it's those other people, right? But you put it out in the garage. Which then what happens is your car that you bought for probably at least around $20,000 or more now gets pushed out into the elements, right? The second biggest thing that you'll ever buy is your car, your house and then your car. And you're putting your car outside so you can put all this junk in your garage, right? Okay. And then when the garage and the closets and everything get filled, then you go into the attic, right? And you put stuff there, right? Then when the attic's full, the closets are full, the garage is full, then we spend good money on a storage unit, right? To hide our junk that we haven't looked at for 30 years. And we're like, The only time we remember it is every month when we have to pay for that storage unit. But we fill up our house, our garage, our attic, and then storage units. And we think this is normal, and can I actually tell you the truth? It is normal. But it isn't right. God's calling us to live more, I think, simplistic, because we have so much stuff, and unfortunately, we really don't have the stuff has us. And all of a sudden, it changes everything in our life. So we need to cut back. This Christmas, you're going to get a whole bunch more stuff and things, more possessions. And can I tell you, you don't need it, and I don't need it. But yet somehow on Christmas, we forget it's Jesus' birthday, and we give each other presents. And we give us stuff that we really don't have money for to buy, and then we don't really need it because we have no place to put it anymore. But yet, we need to cut back. Some of you are thinking, Mark, this is a crazy talk. I'm not going to listen to you today. I'm not going to do any of this stuff. That's fine. That is your choice. But can I tell you that after Christmas is over and you're trying to figure out where to shove all the stuff that you just got, can I just tell you that at that point God will say, okay, now is the time for the do-over. What if you applied it now? What if we lived differently? Second thing we're going to do is this. We're going to clear out. We're going to clear out. I remember years ago when I was early in being a pastor, as a young pastor, I had a guy that's kind of a mentor. And he said, Mark, he says, declutter everything you have as if your life depends on it, because it does. And then he went on and he kind of said this, I'm paraphrasing it, but he goes, when you declutter your house, your workplace, your car, it helps you to declutter your life. And all of a sudden, you can now be the spouse that your spouse needs. All of a sudden, you can be the mother or father that your kids need. All of a sudden, when you start decluttering and you start clearing stuff out, all of a sudden, not only is your home and your car and your garage and your workplace now cleaned out, but it also declutters your heart. It also declutters your mind. It also declutters your soul. So often we are so focused on the stuff and the possessions and the things and where we're going to put it and what we're going to do and all this kind of stuff to where we don't actually have time, because it's cluttered our life. And we don't have time for what is really, truly important. We need to clear out. Let things go. Let me tell you, when I walk into my house and our house is picked up and clean, it's like something kind of, oh, you walk in, there's chaos and stuff's everywhere. It's like, oh. And some of you probably feel that way, but some of you, maybe your house is so cluttered with stuff and things that you don't need that you just got used to it. And you just kind of, that's just simply the way it is. Can I encourage you? Clear it out. But why don't we clear it out? I was thinking about this week. Why don't we clear it out? There's a couple reasons why. One reason is some of you grew up with not very much. And so you don't want to let anything go because you don't know when you will need it. I remember, again, go back to, I had a grandmother. And my grandmother was this way. She went through the Great Depression. And she then would never get rid of anything. I remember one time I was probably around 11 years old. I was over at her house. My grandpa was already passed, and staying the night at her house, and I went to go throw something in the trash, right, underneath her sink. So I open up the sink, and I see over here is a big bag, and I'm looking at what's in this bag, and it's eggshells. And I'm going, Grandma, why do you got a bunch of eggshells in here? And she goes, oh, and I think this is what she said. I can't remember, but I think this is what she said. I'm keeping those in case I ever put in a garden. Now, I don't know what eggshells do in a garden, right? But here's the thing that I do know. For all the years before that and all the years after that until she passed, she never had a garden. Never had a garden. But she kept those. And she kept every. Now, how many of you have ever seen the TV show Hoarders? Would you raise your hands? Okay. How many of you have been on that TV show? Can I see here? Relax. My grandmother was not like hoarder status, but she's like just one step lower is where she was. She had a lot of stuff all over the place. And that was her. She didn't want to let anything go because she went through the Great Depression. She thought, you know, I might need something at some time. So she wanted to keep everything. That may be some of you. But I think really the second thing is more probably most of us. Sometimes we don't let things go because we're sentimental. Because somebody 30 years ago gave me this thing. Right? And I've got to keep it. I've got to use it because 30 years, now I've had it for 30 years in a box or an attic or somewhere. So I've only probably seen it twice in 30 years, but I got to keep it because it's sentimental. Somebody gave it to me. Wow. Really? We do the same thing with clothes, right? You go to get clothes. What do you do? You go down to some store, Macy's, Bond, whatever, or whatever which stores we got around here. And all of a sudden, you go in there, and you're like, oh, I just needed a pair of pants, but look at those shirts. And look, there's like 18 of them. I got to get all every color. Yeah, that's what you're right. If you find something you like that you wear, you buy it in all the different colors, right? And so you buy all these things. Some of you don't do that. That's actually a really good idea. You might want to write that down. But anyway, but here's the thing. But you get it like in all these different colors. And so all of a sudden, you got all these new clothes, all this new stuff. And it's overwhelming because you have so many choices. It's kind of like Netflix, right? You go on Netflix and go, I'm going to watch a movie. I'm going to go on Netflix and try to find a movie. And you know what happens? You don't wind up watching a movie because you spent 2 hours looking at the movies trying to figure out which one to pick. It's overwhelming, right? I was on a plane just this week and I was looking at all the choices for things to watch or whatever on there on your phone or whatever. And there's just like a whole bunch. I'm thinking if they just had like eight in 5 minutes, I could pick one. If they just limit the choices. But we have in America, we have so many choices that we buy. If one's good, 500's better. And so we get a whole bunch more and we just keep piling it up in our closet, in our garage, in our attic, and in our storage unit. And we wonder where our money is going and why we don't have room. And we have struggles because of it. Can I tell you that this is not God's heart for us? Can I tell you what we should do? If you have something that is, and this is going to sound stupid, but just listen anyway. If you are sentimental and somebody gave you something like, again, 30 years ago, and you haven't really looked at it or touched it in 30 years, it's just taking room up in a closet somewhere. Can I encourage you? Here's how you can get rid of it. What if you did this? What if you got that object out, that thing that that person gave you 30 years ago? And you hold it in your hand if it's small enough. If it's not, you might have to get a forklift or whatever. But anyway, you hold it in your hand. And what if you're to say something like this? Thank you for doing what you did for the last 30 years to remind me of what my friend gave to me and how my friend meant so much to me. Thank you for the last 30 years. But object, whatever this is, I'm going to set you free so that you can bring blessings to some other person. And then you give it, right? You give it to like the Goodwill or Salvation Army and you just set it free. But you're like, no, I can't let it go. I'm sentimental. I gotta always sit. If you need to see it, you can just do this. Right there, right? Because it's going to take a whole lot less room on your phone for a picture than to have this thing sitting in the middle of your closet or garage. You thank it for what it's done for the last 30 years, and you take a picture if you need to remember it, and you set it free, and you give it away. Some of you have so, I know it's not you, it's those people next to you, but some of you have so much stuff that is sentimental, that is filling up your house all over the place, and your kids, your spouse, maybe they're upset at you about this, or maybe they've learned this, and they're doing it too, and they've learned it from you. It's time to clear out. It's time to give. What if we did this in other areas? What if we did this? What if you get something, you give something? If I get a new shirt, I give an old shirt. I give it away. If I get new pants, I give away old pants. If I get some new underwear, no, we don't go there. So, but this even works for kids. If you get a new kid, you get rid of... No. No, but how it does apply to your kids is this. If your kid gets a new toy, they give away another toy. Maybe they're like 4 or 5 years old and they're playing with like little baby toys. You get them a toy that's now age appropriate and you give the baby toy, help them to give the baby toy to a baby. When you get something new, you let something go. What if we just tried that? What if we just started there? What if that helped us? Because listen, better one handful than two toiling and chasing the wind. Better, best one handful. But we've got two handfuls and we look like octopuses. We need eight hands because we have so much stuff, so much of God's blessing that we've just taken advantage of. And this is not why God gave it to us, so we can have it in storage units. God has blessed us for another reason. Let me give you the last thing we'll talk about. We're also going to pay it off. We're going to pay off. Let me ask you. How many of you enjoy financial stress? Raise your hand. Oh. How many of you do not like financial stress? Oh, good. A few of you. Raise your hand. Okay. I have never heard anybody say, you know what? You know, every time I pay that credit card bill, I just feel closer to God. I've never heard that before, right? Have you? Never heard that. What I hear before is, I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to pay that bill. I don't know how I'm going to pay the rent. I don't know how I'm going to pay the mortgage. I don't know how we're going to do it. So because of that, if I'm married, my spouse and I are fighting. We're fighting because we don't know how we're going to make this work. Because again, the number one thing that in marriage that people fight about is money. This is something that goes on all the time. And yet we come to the point to where we need to come to the point of paying off. Paying off is something that would be amazing if we would actually do it. Last month we did a series in October. We talked about change your thinking, change your life. When it comes to paying things off, you got to change your thinking. What if you actually started paying things off? To which some of you are really mad at me right now because you're going, good for you, preacher boy. You can pay your bills, right? But you know, I don't make that much. I can't pay off my bills. But let me help you. What if you want like Dave Ramsey crazy? What if you were to like take whatever you can, you're scrimping a little somewhere, and you're putting a little bit more on this one credit card bill? You're paying the normal amount, plus you're giving it just a little bit more. And over time, then that bill gets paid off quicker. Then the money you're paying to that one, now you go to the next credit card bill. And so now you're paying that quicker. Then when both of those are gone, then you take the money that we're going towards these two credit card bills, and you're putting it on your car so you can pay off your car quicker. What if you did that? Then when your car is paid off, then the money that you're paying to the car and to the credit card bills, all of a sudden now you're paying for on your student loans. And now all of a sudden your student loans get paid off. And then the very next thing is if you own a house, you can start putting all that money that's going to those things towards your house, towards your mortgage. Can you imagine what it'd be like if your mortgage was gone? You can. But some of you right now, listen, some of you right now, you're going to think I'm a mind reader and you're going to say, well, I can't do that. Well, you can't with that attitude. You can't unless you try. You can't. Well, you can't point fingers at somebody. Well, it's my spouse's fault or my boss's fault or I don't make enough money. Or then get a new job. But instead of getting a new job, what if instead you started actually creating this thing called a budget? Right now, your budget is I just kind of budget over and try to get more money is what you're doing. But instead, what if you actually lived by a budget and applied some of these things that we talked about? Maybe get into one of our FPU groups, Financial Peace University groups, to help us to learn these things, to apply it, to pay things off. Let me tell you, if you don't, can I tell you, you are going to be in for a rude awakening in January when your credit card bill comes in after you bought all the Christmas presents. You're going to go, oh my goodness. Now is the time. Not in January when you've overspent what you should have spent in December. Now is the time to understand this, to be able to live this out. See, this is what Scripture's telling us. Better is one hand. Better, best is one hand than both toiling and chasing after the wind. Or can I say it this way? Better is a paid-off car than a car that's too expensive that you don't know how you're going to keep paying on. Better is a smaller house that you can afford versus a bigger house that you don't know how you're going to pay it every month. It's better. It's better. Well, I want what my parents have. Well, your parents took like 40 years to get that. And yet you want it right now, and you're willing to go into huge debt. Good luck with that. But we have a society, we have a generation that is doing that. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to put yourself in bondage. You need to learn this. We all need to learn this. Now, let me give you something for your notes, and we're going to begin to wrap up here. Here's the thing. The richest people in the world are not those who have the most, but those who need the least. Let me say it again. The richest people in the world are not those who have the most. It's those who need the least. Are you rich? This last week, me and a couple of the staff went down to Guatemala. In the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking to you about why we went down there. But while we were down there in Guatemala, it just reminded me, I've been to about probably half a dozen third world countries, and it always sticks out in my mind when I see this. And it happened again this week. When you see people that have literally nothing. While we were down there, there's a little girl named Gloria. She's 4 years old that my family and I sponsor. And so while we were down there, we stopped by her home. And we walked up to her home. There's a dirt road, and we came around the corner. And as you come around the corner, here's this, I don't even know how to describe it, a shanty. Just mixed up wood, kind of hammered together. Tin roof, and the family, 7 kids, mom and dad, so 9, living in this maybe 3-room thing. And as we walked up, they are smiling. You could just sense the love that they have as a family together. They invite us into their home. As we walk into their home, we walk in the I guess it'd be the front door. You walk into, this is a bedroom because there's a bed here. And then you turn here and here's like a kitchen and a family room thing. And so we sat at this humble little kitchen table. So there's a little table with 2 benches. And sit down and we're talking through the interpreter to the parents. And the parents, again, through the interpreter said, "Would you like some coffee?" to our team. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, as I'm looking around, I'm looking and I'm seeing there is no electricity in this house. There is no running water in this house. They've got wood that they found and they just try to create walls, but I'm going to tell you it didn't fit. And there's like gaps this big where rain, wind can just come right into that house. And then I look down and there's no floor. It's just dirt. And I'm sitting there going, these people literally have nothing. And yet they're offering us coffee. And they're giving us hospitality. And you could tell that they were a close, loving family. And every time I go to a country like that, and this last week just reminded me again, how stinking blessed we are. But I left there with this question: who's really rich? Us or them? They have nothing, but they are rich in so much other things. In their relationship with one another, in how they care for it, and the way they respond to one another. It's just a beautiful thing, and I've seen this in other countries as well. But when we have so much stuff and possessions and things like this, somehow it kind of decentralizes. It takes us off tangent. And all of a sudden, we get so focused. We have so many distractions to where we're not focused on our loved ones. We're not focused on our family, our kids, our parents, our spouse. We're not focused on God. We're not focused on other people. Because God has left us here. God has you on this planet, whether you have a relationship with Him or not. You are on this planet for a purpose and for a reason. You're not just here taking up time and space and air. You are here for a purpose and a reason. And your and my reason for being here is to love God and to love others. That starts with our spouse, that starts with our kids, it starts with our family, and it moves on beyond that. But can I tell you, because we've got so much clutter, so much stuff, possessions, things, that really it does, we don't have it, it has us. And because of that, now our soul, our mind, our heart, our spirit is cluttered. God's saying, it's time. Less is more. Let's pray. So Father, as we wrap up our time together, God, you're an amazing God. And we love you. We thank you that God, you know that we don't get things right the first time or the second time or the third time or the 50th time. You are a God of do-over. You always give us another opportunity, another chance. Oh, I so thank you for that. Father, today under the sound of my voice, I know that some of the stuff we talked about is kind of meddling. Some of the stuff is going to kind of hurt some people's feelings, stepping on their toes. But God, I pray that you'd help us to actually stop and listen and to think about this and to apply this to our life. Lord, would you help us to declutter our home? But as that happened, would you help us to declutter our life as well, our heart, our mind, our soul? May we have time for what we're supposed to have time to. May we have time for our family, for our kids, for relationships, for our relationship with you, God, and for relationship with others. Lord, I pray that all these distractions, you would help us to go away and to be focused on you. Lord, today, just like every week, we have people here that are exploring a relationship with you. And Father, today there are some today that are exploring that relationship. Some at some point in the past had a relationship, but maybe you didn't do what they wanted to, or maybe they just got disillusioned or busy and they just kind of wandered off from you. But today, they're realizing today is their day to come back. It's their day. Today is the day for them to come into this relationship with you. So Jesus, right now, we pause. And those right now that do not know you, some of them are at that point where they're saying, dear Jesus, forgive me. I need you. I know, Jesus, you died for me. I know that you rose again for me, and so that you took the penalty for my sin so I don't have to. Thank you, Jesus, that I can have a relationship with you right now, and it will continue for the rest of this life and on into eternity. So, Jesus, would you help us to live the way you want us to live? And to honor you the way you want us to honor you. And we say thank you. In your amazing name we pray.